The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord walked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So now, when we come to talk about the ascension, I don't know if the very word ascension conveys the whole wrong idea. And someday I must really go back and find out what the word ascension, how it was translated, what's the etymology of the word ascension, where it came from. Because it gives us the wrong idea from the very beginning. Ascension means to go upward. And so we're talking about rocket Jesus, you know, going up to the sky. What are we talking about? You know, very often a misinterpretation of a word can have a dire effect, really. There's a little story about a very smart young monk came to join a monastery, and he got the job of scriptorium, and that meant that he was copying from copies of the original book of rules, right? And after a short time, he went to the abbot and he said, "The thought crossed my mind that I am copying from copies. Has anybody ever checked the original?" And so the abbot said, "No," he said, "and that makes sense." And so the abbot, who was the only one who had the key, he went off down into the bowels of the monastery where the archives were, and he opened up the original book of rules. And he was down there a very long time, and the other monks began to worry about him. So they sent down one of the senior monks to see why he was down there so long. And when they went down, he had his head down in the original book, and he was crying his heart out. And a senior monk said to him, why are you upset, holy abbot? What's the matter?" And he says, "I've just discovered the word is celebrate." has the penny dropped? "I've just discovered the word is is celebrated when it should be. Hold on a minute. I've just discovered the word is celebrate. Now you got it. Right. You know, seriously speaking, the last words anybody says, they're very... Yeah. You explain it. The last words anybody says are very, very important, and we always kind of try to carry them out. And so today we have Jesus, giving the last talk to his apostles. It's like the woman, her husband died, and she went to the undertaker, and the undertaker was being very patronizing and, you know, saying, and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and so on. "And tell me," he says, "what were your husband's last words before he died?" And she said, "Don't shoot." Well, anyhow, don't shoot. So now, getting back on track and being more serious. So Jesus' last words to his apostles, he said, "It's better for me to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. And next Sunday, we will be celebrating the feast of the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost." But what is the lesson for us in the ascension to today? And it is simply, Jesus was transitioning. It's a bit like what's going to happen here in this parish soon. Cambria will be leaving and will be getting a new pastor. And we refer to that as, as a transition and as a new beginning, as passing on the baton. And that's what Jesus was saying. "I have done my bit now, and I am returning to the Father. I'm returning to the Father. And it's up to you now," he said to his apostles, "to carry on where I left off." And so we now are the successors of the first disciples and the first apostles. And it's up to us now to carry on where Jesus left off. Now we go back to the beginning for one second. So what is the meaning then of the ascension? Where did Jesus go? And we're told he just disappeared from their sight. We now go back to the resurrection. And when he was raised from the dead, it wasn't a resuscitated body. It's very hard for us to get that idea out of our mind. But it was a glorified body. And that's very important for us. Because when we die, where do we go? And again, you might say, well, hopefully we go to heaven. You will go to heaven. But where is heaven, or what is the meaning of heaven? And the meaning of heaven is, wherever God is, that is heaven. Or wherever there is love, God is love. Love is God, and so wherever there is love, that is heaven. Now, go back to the words of Jesus. Go now and spread the good news. Go and baptize all nations. Go and spread the good news. And then in the first reading from the Acts of the apostles were told, are standing there, stargazing, looking up into the sky, and suddenly angels appear to them, or men in white clothing, and say, "Why are you standing here looking up into the sky?" And isn't that how we often are? We're standing there bewildered, or, "Oh, what am I going to do about this?" Now, how do I carry out the mission that has been given to me by Jesus. I don't have to get on a soapbox and begin preaching, but I carry it out by my way of life, by the example that I show. So there's questions for you now. How do I live? It's not just about coming to Mass on a Sunday, but in my everyday life, how do I live? How do I behave? Do I have an attitude of hope, an attitude of joy in my life? And you might say, well, it's pretty difficult to have an attitude of hope and joy at the present time, because we're going through the middle of a pandemic. And when we look around us, there's war, there's violence, there's anger everywhere. We look at what's happening at this very moment as we stand here or sit here, look at what's happening in Palestine, in Israel, in Myanmar, in Ethiopia. It's all around us, arguing and fighting, and we don't know what to believe. It's total confusion. And that's where we are. And that's the world in which we live, a world of opposites, a coincidence of opposites, good way of describing it. And a lot of things happening that don't make any kind of sense, that are absurd. What is our reaction? That's not a good word, but what is our, how do we act towards those would be better. How do we respond, a better word, to all those things happening around us? Do we become part of the bitterness and the anger that we're dealing with? Hopefully not. But when I get bad news, when maybe I go to see the doctor and I find out there's something seriously wrong, do I immediately go for the bottle of whiskey or for Prozac or something, or do I face up to reality? And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to face up to reality and to realize I am not on my own. Because go back to the gospel this morning and back to the readings. I will not leave you alone, but I will come back to you. So that's where. So you're never on your own. Jesus is always beside you. And so when I'm confronted with various problems or difficulties or problems in my own life, I immediately ask the Lord to help me. I say, Lord, I'm in a quandary at the moment. I've got a decision to make. I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know what's happening to my loved ones. I'm very worried about my husband or about my wife or about one of my children or about my family. Do I turn to the Lord and in a simple prayer just say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I trust in you, and I know that eventually all will be well. I know that things will work out. So help me not to lose hope. Not to lose hope. That's very important. And that's our mission in life, is to be a ray of hope, a ray of joy in the midst of pain and suffering and all kinds of absurdities. That's what the Lord is asking us to do in the way that we live, in the way that we behave, in the example that we give to others. And I'm sure you mix with people, maybe you're working with other people, you'll encounter problems. You'll encounter people who are difficult to get on with. They're everywhere. And perhaps, have you ever thought, there are people who find it very difficult to get on with you too. People who find it very difficult to get on with me. So you always begin with yourself. You never look out there first. You always begin with yourself. And you trust in the Lord to make the right decisions. It sounds simple, but it's sometimes difficult to do. So let's start.